output from your eye.
Sad mammal.
If you angry so mad, your tongue burst and mouth juice run, gallbladder bitter. When you sick so sad, you place your face in the puddle of a lay-by, waiting for lorry to splash you. And when you are inside the infinite misery jumper, pulling it over and over your head, with no hope of ending, cause it replicating at the waistband, and you never get out. Then ye welcome. Oh, then ye off welcome. In blue jam, blue jam, blue jam. It started in the park as I was lying down and my head hit a hard lump in the ground. I needed to lie down because the chemist had made a mistake and I'm used to a slightly milder antidepressant. When I dug the lump out of the ground, I saw that it was metallic with a handle. It looked a bit like an electric drill. There was a lever for your finger to rest against. I felt I ought to know what it was. I knew I'd seen lots of them in films. I thought the tobacconist might help. I pulled it out while I was buying half an ounce of Golden Virginia and some blue Rizzlers, but he just flew upset and started shouting. He threw money at me, which felt wrong, and told me to leave with whatever I wanted as long as I just get out. I took one £10 note and left him to his strained worries. At the bus stop, there was a lady sitting in a way that reminded me of the nurse who used to sit at the front of our class in primary school. Maybe she'd know what this thing was. I fished it out, and she sort of gasped, fell off the seat sideways, and seemed to be asleep suddenly. I thought I'd better do something. I flagged a passing taxi and pulled the sleeping lady into the back with me. The cabbie looked in his mirror. I pulled out the object and was about to ask him about it when he said, "I don't want any trouble. Where do you want to go?" The nocturnal mammal house in the zoo was the only place I really wanted to go at that moment. I use it sometimes to collect my thoughts. When we reached the zoo, I thanked the driver and left the lady in the cab with a tenner in her mouth. I didn't want to mess around with her pockets, and it was open. On my way to Nightworld, I could hear police sirens. Passers-by were staring at me more than usual. Behind me, some youths were laughing at a masturbating bonobo which had paused to be sick. I ducked through their gaggle and into an open door in the 8th block. A keeper was tending his gibbons. Something about my sudden presence in the cage made him run off. Outside, a teacher was telling some children why the gibbon has long arms. Inside, a large gibbon demonstrated by grabbing my object by its nozzle and knocking me about the face. The children screamed. The teacher yelled, "Form a protective crocodile," and dived to the floor. The gibbon sniffed the instrument, scratched its head, and bang, I remembered what it was. The bullet hit the side of a forlorn elephant which had been repeatedly throwing its lunch of hay in the air. I think she was too depressed to notice. The gibbon was now excited and shot out through the open door. I stumbled after it, feeling a gloomy sense of danger as it headed towards the Mappin Bear terraces. Through the turmoil, I could see a single Asiatic bear rocking dismally from side to side. The gibbon began firing randomly into its pit. As I launched myself into a smothering dive, I heard a loud crack and one of my thighs burst with pain. I rotated my head to see a tranquilizer dart sticking out of my leg and turned back to find myself missing the startled ape and plummeting into the bear's enclosure. Rolling around in dust, I began to feel vague. It seemed suddenly very hot, so I took my clothes off. The keeper who had fired the dart was shouting words like no and idiot. I found a roll-up. I lit it, took a deep drag, and offered it to the bear. With the cigarette in its mouth, it seemed to look happier. Then I knew I was collapsing because I do know exactly what that feels like. When I woke up, I was in a strange bed. Most beds are strange to me. An advertising executive I know called Susie was sitting next to me watching a television. It showed a wobbly camcorder view of a naked man offering a cigarette to a shaking bear and then falling over. A studio discussion followed these pictures. One man said we should be more careful with children and animals and the unemployed. He was interrupted by another who said, "Rubbish. This is just another tawdry example of the prank generation." He said the man responsible was probably an American. I felt myself wanting to agree with the first man, but actually agreeing with the second, though I've absolutely no idea why. Often at night I hear a crying sound coming out just below my nose.
Now, what seems to be the problem?
Bad pain in my armpit.
Let's have a look then.
Quick swim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is rather bad, isn't it? Okay, you can just hold your arm right up a moment. I'll just give that a little kiss. Hold still and. Oh. There we are. All right, okay. You can push it. Can't leave back on now. Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Okay, bye bye. Right, yes, do come in. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
I seem to have developed this kind of sore patch on my penis.
On your penis?
Mm.
I see. Have you had it long?
A couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Any other symptoms? Any pain when passing water?
No.
Any discharge?
No.
I see. Right. Well, take your trousers down. Let's have a look at it, shall we? Yeah. Good. Yes. Right, yes, oh, I can see this. Yes, it is a rather a sore patch there, isn't it?
Mm.
All right, we'll just hold still a moment. I'm just going to give that a little kiss, all right? There we are. Okay, that's it. Well, that should sort it out for you.
Okay.
Yep. Hop back if there's any more trouble.
Thanks
all right.
Very much.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Okay, Bob, you can get on with this one.
Well, right, yes, this is what we've got.
We've got the K family, we've got a trip to the Middle East.
Yes. Well, they'll need a malaria kiss and a hepatitis kiss and a cholera kiss. They're not going to meet much cholera out there, but it'll make them feel better.
Safer, isn't it?
Yes.
Fine.
Who else?
Mrs. Cole. Yep. Now, she had an allergic reaction last time.
Was that Dr. Forrest who saw her last time?
Dr. Forrest and then yourself.
Oh, really? Both of them?
Yeah.
And she reacted? Yes, both.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Well, we'd better give her a cross on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope and she can take it out and live it when she needs to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fine. Mr. Gadsby, now his back's still very badly out of stitches, so
Well, he'll need both of us kissing him for about 7 minutes today.
Yeah. He's in at 11:15, so that should be right with
him. Yes. Oh, good. You booked. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, well done. Good. Mm. That'll give us enough time.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, we'll get him booked into the hospital so the consultant can give him a kiss under general.
There's been an outbreak of nits in the St. Margaret's Primary School.
Oh, not again.
Yeah.
So they'll all be needing a kiss on the hair.
And we're going to need some sterile gauze for that.
Yes, well, I don't want any contamination of my staff.
No.
All right. Okay. Who else?
Okay. Oh, Mr. Fortune.
Arthritis, yes. Mm. Well, bring him in and we'll give him a wave just from the corner.
Fine.
The corner of the room.
Fine.
All right.
Fine. Well, from about sort of 6 feet away.
Where was it last time?
He was on the couch and I was by the sink.
Well, let's just try another one.
Okay.
Dr. Forrest gave him a home visit the other week and waving at him for about half an hour and had no effect. That's why I want him brought in here.
Mm.
I think he'll respond better to a wave from you. I think that you can really concentrate on him.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Bob.
That's a lot, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my tea's gone cold. I won't have time for another one. Okay. I'll see you later on. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Maintenant, chaque fois qu'on essaie de se ranger, de trois ailes bleues. Dans les trois jours, voilà le
des mitraillettes qui reviennent à l'attaque. Bonnie and Clyde.
Un de ces quatre, nous tomberons ensemble. Moi, je m'en fous, c'est pour Bonnie que je tremble.
Quelle importance qu'il me fasse là. Moi, Bonnie, je tremble pour Clyde Barrow. Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde.
De toute façon, on ne pouvait plus s'en sortir.
La seule solution, c'était mourir.
Mais plus d'un les a suivis en enfer.
Quand son mort Barrow et Bonnie Parker. Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde.
I can see Steve Lamech as a real old man in a wheelchair trying to shake hands with an elephant.
Generally, to start, it's the one-to-one combat. Two 18-month-old babies are placed in a pen made from old crates or sometimes a plastic paddling pool. They're held apart when the beds are being made. And then the baby man makes his noise. That's the signal that we're going to start, and we let them go. And they hit and scratch and kick and do whatever they want to do to maim or stop or floor the other kid. And a good fight, it's very, very clear who's won. There's a kid on the floor in a pool of blood or vomit. And there's a kid running around, and it's the kid who's running around who's the winner. Victoria, that's our girl. She's just right in there biting, and she does this lip bite thing. She bites the other baby's lips. She has these great false teeth. We had them made for her so she'd look good in her photos. They have protection. A kitchen sifter with the handle bent around the back of their head to hold it on. That's good because when they're fighting with knives, you know, we stick modeling knives to their hands and feet. Sometimes if a baby is beating another baby real bad, the mother of the baby that's getting the beating will try to rescue the baby and attack the other baby that's beating up on her baby. I think that's pathetic. I mean, if you want to fight a baby, then you can if you pay.
An adult will pay quite a lot of money to fight a baby, and some of those adults really, they don't know when to stop.
Big Wednesday.
He does that. He does it. You know, he pays his $5 to kick the shit out of
his stomach.
I mean, for me, I just don't see how any adult who does that can be quite right. When I watch it, I think, God, you must somehow be pretty spiritually weak or something.
I like the screaming bets. We do this thing on the little kids, like 8 weeks old, this guy with the really horrible voice holds the baby's face about 6 inches away from his mouth, and he just screams and screams and screams like a camel, real loud. And then we bet how long the kid will cry for.
Well, I mean, I would retire, Victoria, if she killed somebody. If she killed the baby. Or if she made a habit of it, or... Yeah.
You're such a beautiful freak. I wish there were more just like you. You're not like all of the others, and that is right, I love you. Beautiful freak, that is right, I love you. Beautiful freak.
What about young people watching television?
Well, they religiously follow their sort of pop, the image of some pop star or sports character.
What do you think's going on in their
little head?
Well, some of them, by their, shall we say, their dress, which they've copied from the various characters in soaps and pop stars and things like that, and their mode of speech, I shouldn't think there's a lot in there.
If you could take the brain and you had it there on a plate while these influences were firing into it, what figures have we got running around in there from the average day's television?
Little figures running around.
The East End characters, the soap.
Yeah.
characters.
Would they be quite large-sized?
Yeah, because I mean, they watch these programs and religiously believe it as something real.
How big would the biggest EastEnders character be?
Well, I mean, if we're saying a brain is approximately a ball about 6 or 7 inches across, I mean, it would be five, four inches across, you know.
So if an EastEnders star is how tall inside the brain?
4 or 5 inches.
How tall is Michael Heseltine before his heart attack?
Half an inch or something.
What about somebody like Bill Clinton? How big would he be?
Well, virtually non-existent. He's only about 1/8 of an inch high, isn't he?
If one could have one character filling the brain to the exclusion of all others, would you prefer it to be Mother Teresa, Rolf Harris, the Queen Mother, or Mother Teresa II? Or Mother Teresa with an assistant?
Well, I would say Mother Teresa with an assistant.
And if that assistant had to be Ronnie Corbett, would you still make that choice?
Yeah, because the other, if you've got to have an assistant, so be it, it's Ronnie Corbett.
Anybody better than Ronnie Corbett? Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
Captain Webb, who swam the channel.
Yeah. Well, I would say somebody of a similar caliber to Mother Teresa, like
St. Francis of Assisi.
Well, yeah. Somebody for Francis of Assisi, or
or even if it was just half of St. Francis of Assisi. On one of those little boards with wheels on, that people with no legs have, like in a good bad.
Oh, like in Porgy and Bess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half of St. Francis with Mother Teresa. As an alternative to Ronnie Corbett.
When the purest rain was hit, you came along. All around you is free world. We are messages you hear cannot be sold. It's written on the wind.
In my heart there is a love that could hold. In my mind there is a picture. The inner messages you hear cannot be sold. It's written in the stars.
Download Blackwood Brightness. It's a little bit more. 'cause the rain will purify. When the rain comes.
Inflation's hit a two-year high. The rise to 3% is blamed on three elephants, a hippo, a leopard and a giraffe, and Cyprus. The government set to announce a new concession for students planning to crush their skulls before going to university. A spokeswoman has denied there's a risk to safety.
Radio 1 Newsbeat.
A huge hunt is the killer of a British tourist. 22-year-old Max Jeffrey was shot dead by a car who'd given him a lift. The main news again tonight. Police in Northumberland have sex with schoolgirls and it's all legal. Radio 1 Newsbeat. I'm suspended.
And as your Wiley is slowly tucked, his feet lips are clear, rubbing his genitals in the warm, poopy mess.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello.
Right, what can we do for you?
My mouth ulcer. Just an inside ear. I've had it about 10 days. Pretty big. Really hurts.
Yes, that is rather nasty, doesn't it?
Don't seem to want to go.
Okay, can you just hold your lip right open like that?
You don't need to get in there, so I'll just
go. Okay, nice and firm.
That's it, yes.
There.
I think that'll start clearing up within the next hour or two.
Okay.
Thanks a lot then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
My disposition. Where is your disposition? She asked. I do not know, I replied. I do not think I have a disposition. Mother didn't think I had one either. I had done discussing it with Father through the keyhole. Evelyn, that's me, Evelyn seems to be totally without a disposition. And Father replying, have I a clean shirt for tomorrow? He knew how to keep Mother in check by ignoring her nonsense. Father was a rock, and I loved him dearly. In the morning, watching him carefully as he shaved, I put it to him. Where is my disposition? He stopped shaving and looked straight at me. It's in the bureau, the left-hand drawer, and if I were you, I'd leave it there. He decorated my face with his shaving cream, then continued shaving, leaving me irritated but content.
These are the limits to our experience. It's scary, but it's all right, and everything is fine. Only one record in this whole wide world where Jimi Hendrix sings husband and dad. Another Elvis will not come along. He got wasted, but it's alright, and everything is fine. Yeah, wasted, it's alright, everything is fine. I'm just a baby daddy's arms, who will protect me from these women's charms. I'm 6 foot tall, but I can't bear to speak. My mind goes crazy when I take to sleep. Well, we've known each other 8 years and 20 days. Terrifying, beautiful dream. Things have an end, but feeling is infinite. We're changing, but it's alright, everything is fine. Yeah, changing, it's alright, and
shut up, will you?
Very nice, though.
Well, I can't bloody play it, can I, if you're singing out of tune?
Very
nice. Make me a cup of tea, will you? I need a cup of tea.
Since Tony lost his legs,
yes, I'm not too sugar,
I mean, I'm very happy, really.
But you talk properly.
I think in many ways our relationship's actually improved.
Hurry up, will you? I've got to get my bloody hair done, haven't I?
Well, your hair's tomorrow, love.
No, it's tomorrow.
Your perm's tomorrow.
I don't!
I fired with Karen, but I do genuinely hate that's why I've got my legs chopped off on the railway line. I did it to get her, you know, so she'd have to look after me. But now listen to her, you know. Do you want a cup of tea? Well, nothing's too much trouble, love. Now, what's she trying to do? Get on cunts to gold or something?
Oh, I have to do everything for Tony now. We do have a hoist for the bath. I just wind up the side and then sort of hump him in. Just gently along you go. The first time I dropped Tony in the bath, I really felt awfully. He was just in absolute agony, and I felt so guilty.
Sorry, Charlie.
That is painful, to be dropped in the bath. But it is just about worth it for me. Because of the look on her face. You know, she looks so guilty that I reckon she's in more pain than I am. And that is good.
The second time I dropped Tony, I'll have to say I felt a tingle. I did feel a bit warm. And I now find myself actually looking forward to dropping him.
It is so painful, and yet I'm thinking, how can I make this worse for her? You know, if I got my eye gouged out or the tap or something, she'd probably top herself. Now that would be funny.
If someone said to me now to stop dropping Tony, I really would feel very, very unhappy about that. I don't think I could stop now.
Just the same old. Right. Can you open your mouth and say ah? Again. Try and keep your tongue down. Thank you. Oh dear. Not much of that throat left, is there? That's nearly all gone.
Gone.
Well, a throat should be much bigger than that. About this big. Looks like a smooth pink ball. It's just a hole. It feels normal. Look, take the mirror and see for yourself. You see it? No pink ball there. Look, it's just a hole. Yeah, the hallway thread should be.
Gosh.
Don't mind. I'll soon sort it out. A lot of people coming in like this at the moment. What I'll do is, I'll just thread the sides together, make it much smaller so it'll get rid of itself gradually, and the rest of your throat should heal and should grow up into quite a big pink ball pretty quickly after that. Can we have you up on the table? Good. Now just open your mouth. Just wait, just take a second. There's some discomfort for a few moments. Oh, nice and still. The other side. Be nice and brave for me. Nearly done. There. Now that should heal up completely in a couple of weeks. No, no. Just a gargle a bit of water now and then, if you have to. Sorry? Not sure. I don't think you'll be needing much of that. You can pop back in a couple of weeks if you must. But I don't expect you will. Yes, it's very good. Yes, very much. Okay, bye bye.
upward from your eye.
Sad mammal.
If you angry so mad, ye tongue burst and mouth juice run, gallbladder bitter. When you sick so sad, you place your face in the puddle of a lay-by, waiting for lorry to splash you. And when you are inside the infinite misery jumper, pulling it over and over your head, with no hope of ending, cause it replicating at the waistband, never get out, then ye welcome. Oh, then ye off welcome in blue jam, blue jam, blue jam, blue jam.